Amy was, must have been assigning the cases today.
She gave us all insurance.
Insurance docket.
Good. Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Barrett Bowers, and I represent Chuck Bailey. Mr. Bailey has brought claims against his former employer, and this is a case about his First Amendment rights to speak as a citizen on matters of public concern without fear of retribution in the workplace.
Is that a correct statement of the issue, or is this case really about whether an employee, a public employee, can use government letterhead for the purpose of communicating otherwise protected speech?
I don't think that's the issue in this case at all. I think that
in other words, was your client terminated because not because he wrote a letter saying, please don't sentence Jack to too tough a sentence, he's a good guy, or was he terminated because he wrote that sentiment on school letterhead?
That's certainly the defendant's position in the case, Your Honor, but I believe that that's subject to a genuine dispute of fact.
All right. Well, just a couple more questions just so I can focus this in my mind. If it's the former, that is, that the termination because he used a letterhead, it's really not a First Amendment case at all, right? They're not preventing him from saying anything. They're preventing him from using letterhead to say what he's going to say, in which case it's more kind of a sanction for violating school policy rather than a free speech case?
Well, I don't think that there was ever any proof that he violated any school policy. And in fact, Mr. Bailey's declaration in this case said that there was no policy that he violated. In fact, his superior, the superintendent, knew that he engaged in sending letters of recommendation on school letterhead.
And he also argues that the superintendent himself had written political endorsements on school letterhead.
That's absolutely correct. And that's why I think that if the defendant's evidence is believed by a jury that Mr. Bailey was terminated because he wrote this letter on letterhead and not because of the content of the speech, then they win. But that's a jury issue and not a question of law under this court's precedence. And in fact, the district court, I think, correctly concluded that there was evidence that Mr. Bailey submitted that contradicted the defendant's reasons for the termination. And that was one of the very specific examples that we cited in the materials, was that the superintendent himself had violated state law. In addition to that, there was issues regarding whether or not other employees used letterhead for personal purposes as well.
Now, is there any expression in the record in this case in which the school district said that that your client was being terminated for use of the letterhead and not for the content of the speech?
Is there any expression in the record?
Is there anything in the record saying that?
Yes. That would have been at the due process hearing. Under Oklahoma law, an employee like Mr. Bailey is entitled to a full due process hearing before termination. And at that hearing, the school board, as well as Mr. McDaniel, said, we are firing you because you used the letterhead, not because of the content of the speech.
And so the school then... The school cannot use the content as a basis for the termination.
That's correct.
And does not use it.
They say they do not.
All right.
They say they do not, but the evidence, this is like other Title VII cases, like other employment law cases, there's contradictory evidence that shows that is simply a pretext. What they really cared about was what Mr. Bailey was saying. And so, to kind of move back into some of the other issues in the case, I would just emphasize that the district court did find that there was disputed facts on the motivation. But what the real issue that the district court resolved this case on is whether or not Mr. Bailey's speech involved a matter of public concern. That was the only issue where the district court hung its hat in dismissing the claim and entering judgment for the defendants. And so when you look at Mr. Bailey's speech in particular, in order to prove that his speech was on a matter of public concern, he has to show that that speech was of interest to the community. It was of a legitimate news interest, as the Supreme Court said in Roe versus City of San Diego. And what the Supreme Court has said and what this court's precedents show is that speech is on a matter of public concern when it is related to a matter that is of social, political, or other concern to the public.
And, I can't remember if you cited Buzak.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that seems pretty close to the facts here. And there the court found that any time you're speaking to the court about a sentencing matter, that it's an issue of public concern. The question I have, Buzak is Eighth Circuit. We don't have a Supreme Court decision on this, and we don't have a Tenth Circuit decision on this. Does that mean that qualified immunity is appropriate here because the law was not clearly established at the time?
Well, first, as against the school district
they
itself,
can't get qualified
there is
immunity.
No qualified immunity. With regard to Mr. McDaniel himself, I think that the issue is so clear, just like the Eighth Circuit said, it's unquestionable. That was language from another court of appeals decision when the facts are almost hand in glove. It's hard in a First Amendment case to get facts that similar, and we have that case here. And so I think, like the Eighth Circuit found, boy, this is so unquestionably a matter of public concern that no competent school official could think that he could terminate Mr. Bailey for that reason. So even though there's not a direct opinion on point in the Tenth Circuit, I think that still there would be no entitlement to qualified immunity for Mr. McDaniel.
In turning to the issue of whether this is a matter of public concern, the trial court had to have concluded that the speech itself was the basis of the termination and not the use of the letterhead. Is that correct?
I think that the trial court in footnote 2 of its order says there is contradictory evidence about the basis for why the school district made the termination decision. And so I think that what that means for my purposes as a representing Mr. Bailey is that there's a jury question on the motivation.
And therefore, the trial court, Judge Heaton, just uses the public concern issue as a way to avoid the jury trial questions on the district court, school district's motivation. Then I'm going to go this other way.
That's absolutely correct, because as the precedents make clear, the second element, the public concern element, is an issue of law, and so Judge Heaton did rule on that issue by saying that these letters sent about a convicted felon and what his appropriate sentence was not an issue of public concern. And I think that the district court's decision on that issue was in error. And the big primary thing to me is that this case is fundamentally different than almost every other free speech case that results in an opinion from this court or the Tenth Circuit. And I think that this court, in the case Flanagan v. Munger, really hit the nail on the head and said the public concern test is not really designed, coming from Connick v. Myers, to address employee speech that is not at work and or is not about work. And that's what we have here, is speech from Mr. Bailey, where he writes private letters to a sentencing judge in May of 2014 and then to another judge, coming up with a decision on a modification of a criminal sentence. And those issues are totally unrelated to Mr. Bailey's employment. As the testimony below came out, the superintendent himself acknowledged that these were not issues that related to Mr. Bailey's what he was paid for.
And if that's the case, then you never even get past the first prong of Pickering, right?
That's right, under Garcetti.
Pickering asks us to whether it's a matter that arose as part of his employment.
And then it's gone. And so,
like, the answer is no to that question.
Right. And so this speech where Mr. Bailey writes these letters, I think that the court is obliged under Supreme Court precedent to look at the content, form, and context of those statements. And when you look at the content and the form and the context, there's no doubt that these letters were written in the context of a public discussion about the appropriate sentence for Mr. Bailey. for Mr. Graham. And so when you look at what he is expressing and why it's important, the speech that Mr. Bailey engaged in was informing a public official's decision about the appropriate sentence for a convicted felon. And that speech, like political speech in terms of what candidate should be selected for office, in the case Bass v. Richards, this is core political speech about a convicted criminal. And so the district court found basically that the personal motivation of Mr. Bailey, because he was the uncle of this criminal convict, the district court found that personal motivation really completely wiped out any public concern issues. But this court's cases, Deutsch v. Jordan, and I think Connick itself, show that when you have a private motivation, that's not fatal to a claim under the First Amendment. The issue is, well, is there also a public interest? And I think that the public absolutely had an interest in what this individual criminal's sentence would be. And so what we look at in the judicial decision below in the criminal case, Title 22 of the Oklahoma Statutes 982A, the actual decision that district court judge was making was whether or not a reduction in the convict's sentence would be in the best interest and would not jeopardize the public's interest. So everything about this issue was just imbued with a public concern. What should the sentence be? What is the appropriate sentence? And Mr. Bailey was doing what he could to advance that discussion, because the information needed by that district court judge was specifically personal information about Mr. Graham.
And I think you ought to reserve the rest of your time. Correct?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor.
Sorry.
No problem. I just want to make sure you're okay.
May it please the Court, my name is Douglas Mann. I represent the Mustang School District and Superintendent Sean McDaniel.
Now, counsel, let me just kind of a few questions to kind of tighten the focus here a little bit. So you've got Munger, decided in 1989, and I think I'm looking for the exact quote.
That's Judge McKay's opinion, Your Honor.
Then don't ask me, because the author of an opinion, once published, is least likely to know what it stands for.
Okay.
Because it'll be in the hands of other people.
But it was done by our esteemed jurist of the Tenth Circuit, and senior jurist of the Tenth Circuit even, and it's... adds more gravitas, or lends more gravitas to the argument. But in any event, Munger, 1989, says that a government employee's nonverbal protected expression that is neither at work nor about work cannot be used as grounds for employer discipline. So you've got that case smack against you.
No, sir, I do not. And I can explain why.
All right.
In Flanagan, the nonverbal, the reason that the conic was not even used, public concern argument was not used, is because there was actually no speech, right, no verbal speech in what I call Flanagan. Right. And so what happened, that had to do with the sale of videos. Uh-huh. And so ultimately, what they said, we use nonverbal speech.
Fine.
Here, Your Honor, we have verbal speech.
Okay,
we have words.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on, not so quick, because I was going to get to these points. Now, in this case, you've got the use of a letterhead to communicate verbal speech.
Yes, sir.
But the problem is, the school district has said, we did not terminate this employee because of what he said.
That is correct.
We did not do that. We just terminated him for using a letterhead, which is kind of like for renting a video or whatever he did that was nonverbal. That he didn't say anything. We just used the letterhead, and that's why we terminated him. Correct?
Sir, what he said, what is undisputed in this case,
uh-huh,
at the hearing level, is that the reason that he was terminated is that Superintendent McDaniel said, I no longer have trust and confidence in anyone who would use school district letterhead to try to get a child pornographer out of prison. And when he confronted him at a pre-termination meeting, he said to him, do you understand what you did wrong? And Mr. Bailey refused to acknowledge what he did wrong. As a result, the reason that he did this was because he used school district's letterhead and injected the school district into this. But he used speech in order to inject the school district's letterhead into this. And I think we need to look at this.
But you didn't terminate him because of the... thank you for that answer. I'm just trying to...
I understand what you're saying.
I haven't decided this case yet. I'm trying to decide it. You didn't terminate him because he said, please sentence this sexual offender or whatever to more or less or whatever. That's not why you terminated him. Correct?
That is correct. We terminated him for his conduct. That's right. However, they want to say that we did terminate him for what was in the letter. That is absolutely untrue.
All right. Now, hold the thought.
Okay.
We fast forward. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we fast forward, and we're now in district court. And you're before Judge Heaton, and Judge Heaton hears these arguments, and he rules the comments that were made here to the judge, to the sentencing judge, were not a matter of public concern.
Yes, sir, he did.
That is the basis of my ruling.
Yes, sir, he did.
But you got Munger square in the face of that ruling. And how do you get around that?
I get around Munger because Munger had to deal with an issue in which they were selling videos. Okay? There was absolutely no type of verbal speech with regard to the videos. We do have verbal speech here. It is the letterhead. He is using the letterhead of the Mustang School District as a means of adding gravitas or weight to what he is saying to that local judge.
Counsel,
yes, sir.
Isn't the problem embedded in precisely what they said? They didn't say they fired him for using the letterhead for non-school business. They said they fired him for using the letterhead to make this particular kind of speech.
That is absolutely correct, Your Honor. That is correct.
That's what they said.
Yes, sir.
And so that their reason is what the content, from their own statement, it looks like, at least you need to explain to me, why their own statement doesn't indicate that it was the content of the speech which motivated the decision, and they just linked it to the letterhead.
Well, let's look at the content of the speech, Your Honor. In writing this letter, and they don't even cite it to you in their brief, in writing the letter, he said, and it's in the record, that he is writing the judge in support of his nephew. Then he says, if he's released from prison, I'll have a supportive role. Then he says, I'll be a positive role model for him. Then he says, I visited with my nephew in prison, and he's grown stronger in his faith. There is absolutely nothing in there that has anything to do with any judicial process of his nephew. There was no information that was provided as to what would be a proper sentence for a sex offender. There was no information as to what factors a judge should, in fact, use in looking at a reduction of it. He does not discuss the impact of what an early release of a sex offender would be on the public. This was not written for a public concern purpose. It was written solely for a personal and private purpose to try to get his nephew out of prison. And to do that, he wanted to use school district letterhead, which had absolutely nothing to do with this. Your Honor, you mentioned the Buzik case. At least that's how I'm pronouncing it. Buzik involved a police officer in another jurisdiction writing a letter for a young man that was about to be sentenced after his conviction. He was not, like Mr. Bailey in this case, personally motivated in trying
to... He was associated with the mother and indicated that he had been involved with the family and that he was doing it as a favor to the mother.
And look at footnote 2. In that opinion, it says, he specifically says, Your Honor, I would not attempt to influence your position. He was not writing that to influence it. He was writing it as a courtesy. And I submit
What's
to you...
What's the purpose of the letter?
Pardon me?
What on earth is the purpose of the letter?
To just provide some information to that judge. It wasn't to get him out. He specifically says, Your Honor, I am not writing this to influence you. And
but again,
the
we're
other...
focused on the content of the speech,
yes,
which it seems to me to be fatal to your position.
Well, Buzik didn't even focus on the content of the speech, Your Honor. The Buzik court...
Buzik held that when you are dealing with sentencing and helping a judge to make a sentencing determination, that it is a fundamental concern of the public, of public interest.
Except they did not actually look at what was said, which is what the Tenth Circuit has required and what the Pickering and Garcetti test requires. You cannot just talk about something that's of some sort of general concern. What this court has said and what the United States Supreme Court has said in the Garcetti and the Pickering analysis is you must look at the actual content and what was actually said.
If you look at the- Let me ask you this. If he had written a recommendation letter for an athlete that he had coached at the school for a college application and used the school letterhead, would there be any problem with that?
No, because that's our mission, Judge. Our mission is not to get convicted child pornographers out of prison.
That means you're focused on the content.
We're not focused on the content. We're focused on what he is doing using our letterhead. And let's look at the balancing test in this, which was not addressed because the judge, Judge Heaton, said that it was wasn't a matter of public concern. But let's look at the balancing test, which you all can consider because it was fully briefed and each side had an opportunity to address it. Mr. Bailey's issue here, what is his interest? His interest was to get his nephew out of prison. That
well,
was it.
Counsel, look, I'm sure you argued these things to the trial court with great emotion, and the people come here and argue the same things to juries with emotion. We don't need the emotion because kind of we're dealing with intellectual issues.
No, I understand.
And it seems to me that you're kind of on both sides of this issue. First, you're telling us that the content of the speech had nothing whatsoever to do with his termination. And then you advance an argument which is totally based on the content of the speech.
It's the subject matter, Your Honor, of what he was trying to do.
The subject matter.
That's right.
As Judge McHugh points out, that is an essentially content. But Judge Heaton didn't rely on any of that. He said that communications to a sentencing judge in criminal matters were not a matter of public concern. And I mispronounced the name of the case as well, so forgive me as well. But the case is fairly clear that the matters of sentencing are matters of public concern. And if it involves sexual predators or some other heinous sexual act, or whether it involves felonies of any other type, it's really not relevant. The point is that the ruling is that the addressing a sentencing judge is a matter of public concern.
Your Honor, I submit that Buzik is wrongly decided because there was no analysis
now
like the Tenth Circuit.
Pager. Now, maybe we can go there. Maybe we can say we're not going to follow Buzik. We can't
change the law of music, but what we can say is it's distinguishable on its facts. We're not going to rely on it for whatever reason, and I'd like to hear your point of view on that.
Well, there was no analysis of what was actually said in Busick. There was an assumption that any time that somebody addresses a sentencing judge, it's a matter of public concern. And that is simply not what the Garcetti-Pickering analysis says. It says, and this court has repeatedly said, you must look at the content concern to see if it's trying to inform the public. And that's why I went through what he actually said in his letter. He said nothing to inform the public on this. With regard to the balancing test, the sole purpose that Mr. Bailey wrote this was to get his nephew out of prison. I submit to you that we have two...
Let me go back to the balancing test. What we look there at, one of the things we look at, is the disruption to the school district. Well, it was 2 years before the school district even knew about the first letter, right?
Yes, but the disruption occurred when they found out. And he says, the superintendent says to himself, oh my goodness, I've got a guy here that is using our letterhead to try to get a sex offender out of prison. And that's when he brought him in. There was no waiting from when he knew about it. He immediately brought him in and said, why did you do this? And he says, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. I submit to you that this business away from work is also covered by this Ducheney case that we've cited. Ducheney is that nurse. And Ducheney was not on the job. She was not at work. She drove away. She got stopped by a police officer. They had some words. She said, I hope you never show up in my emergency ward at my hospital. The police officer told her boss she got fired. And in Ducheney, this court says that you have, a school district has, a right to control its message when it has a direct nexus and connection with the employment. And in this case, this court specifically found that nexus, even though she was not at work.
Well, if this teacher had written what he said, and I read that letter, and he said there are people that respond in negative ways, and then there are people that admit their behavior, and then they commit to improve. And in my experience, in the latter case, where people admit their mistakes, there's hope for cure. If they don't admit them, there's never any hope. But he said this openly to the judge. If he had those kind of comments, and if he had not used the school letterhead, would he have been terminated?
Absolutely not. If he, and this is undisputed in this case, Your Honor, that Superintendent McDaniel told him, if you had not used our letterhead, we would not be having this meeting. If he'd used his own letterhead, if he'd used blank paper, we would have done absolutely nothing with him. We are trying to control the speech that was attributed to us by a high-level employee, and that's where the disruption comes. My guy could no longer trust his AD and determined he had to go. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. We're going to add a minute of time, please, if you will, Amy, this counsel's time. Thank you.
Judge, I think what I would start out by addressing is the Busick case and counsel's arguments, both that were asserted in the brief and today, that the Busick case should not be followed by this court. I think that those arguments I don't believe that they're correct for this reason. In the briefs, counsel argued that Busick doesn't apply because the Eighth Circuit must follow a different test than the Tenth Circuit, and it doesn't actually look at the content of the speech. And that's the same assertion that you heard this morning, is that the Eighth Circuit didn't really look at the content of the speech in Busick. But there's really no indication that that's the case. In the Busick opinion, the entire content of the speech is quoted, and counsel and the defendants are asking this court to consider that the Eighth Circuit just ignored that and applied a test, really, that would be contrary to the Supreme Court's precedent from Connick, which requires a look at the content. And so there's no case law in the Eighth Circuit that says they follow a different test than the Tenth Circuit does. There's no authority for that proposition. I don't believe that's correct. Second, the next point that I would address is that counsel also indicated that it's undisputed that the superintendent terminated Mr. Bailey because he lost confidence. And I would note that there's a big dispute about the content of the meeting between the superintendent and Mr. Bailey. That's disputed evidence, once again, that this court can't weigh credibility and find what side do they believe. Mr. Bailey said that meeting did not occur in the way that the superintendent says it did, and in fact that shows pretty clearly in Mr. Bailey's opinion that Mr. McDaniel, the superintendent, had already made up his mind to terminate Mr. Bailey on the basis of the speech alone. And just to finally close my argument to the court, I think that the questions that have been posed show the problem in this case. Every reason that the school district is giving to this court, it just imbues a public concern. We did not want him to be seeking leniency for a child pornographer. That is a public concern that the public has an absolute interest in. And I think that the termination of Mr. Bailey in this case violated his First Amendment rights, his clearly established First Amendment rights, and we would respect the request that the district court's order be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. Counsel are excused, and we'll turn to the last case.